The epistle appointed to be read for this, the fourth Sunday after Easter, is taken from the epistle of St. James. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren. But let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, where art thou going? Because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come, he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there will be no catechism class this morning, as is in the bulletin. Father Francis is in bed with the flu or something. Well, we have found the proper pill for the flu, but we're still looking for the proper pill for the or something. So we will work on that. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Mark the Evangelist, and it's also Rogation Day, which means that it is a day of very special prayer. Next Sunday is a very special day. It is the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, the feast of St. Joseph. Therefore, I suggest strongly that we prepare ourselves well for this occasion. During the month of May, we will have our usual every evening rosary and procession starting in the Abbey Church at 10 minutes after 7. This morning, I am not going to come out back to visit with you, and I strongly suggest that you do not linger too long outside in this wind and weather today. Don't hang around outside, because the weather is not propitious and there is a lot of sickness that is going around. We have it in our own house. So let us be careful and take care of ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. My beloved people, we are in the midst of a lot of upheaval, and there is, in the minds and hearts of all of us, a great deal of anxiety and of worry and of concern, and information comes to us. Perhaps I shouldn't use the word information, because information implies some element of truth. But there's so much stuff that is coming to us from all directions, from the right and from the left. And it disturbs our minds and disturbs our consciences. And we are concerned. Regardless of what comes our way about whatever, let us stop for the moment to think of what effect have I been in calming disturbance of thought, confusion of the mind, or have I contributed to disturbance of mind or confusion of mind? My beloved people, I say this with all of the sincerity that I can possibly pull up for myself, and that is that the only reason we are here is to preserve our holy faith. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. We must be very cautious that our holy faith is never troubled or disturbed. I worry that sometimes we do allow for things to enter in that have no business coming in. We are here because we believe. What do we believe? What is our belief? Our belief is God. What is our hope? Our hope is God, in God. What is our love? Our love is God. And what is our adoration? Our adoration is God. Sad to say, my beloved people, that in too many places today, let us not look only in one direction. We must always keep in mind to be objective. It's difficult to be objective sometimes, but we have to be objective regardless. And we must not look only in one side of a coin. We must look at both sides of the coin. The only thing that we must be concerned about is truth. I think that in today's world, I think in today's church, we have lost contact with organized religion. We don't understand organized religion. In the world, we have lost contact with organized society. And the things that organized society imply and demand of us. What is our religion? What is our spirituality? Some time ago, we spoke of mediocre spirituality. How seriously do we speak, how do we take our spirituality? How seriously do we take our religion? Or do we use it at our convenience, calling upon it when it serves us best? Again, I repeat, let us not look either to the right only or to the left only. Let us be bifocal, whatever that means, and look in both directions and see right and left at the same time. Once upon a time, I don't know where I heard this, but it makes a lot of sense. I either heard it or read it, I don't know which. That when we die, we are going to be met with three very great surprises. The first of these great surprises is that we made it. The second of these great surprises is that we discover the ones who have made heaven. And the third of these great surprises is that we discover the ones who did not make heaven. It is not him who says, "Lord, Lord," to me, my beloved people, who makes heaven. But I think that there are some who think that way. We read here, I'll have to look for it again. Yes, here it is. In whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. If we read the Old Testament carefully, I mean read it with downright study, we will soon see that the Lord God overlooked things that were the result of human weakness, pure weakness, honest weakness. But when the Lord God said, "I want this, and I don't want that," the punishment was instant, was terrific, and unalterable. No second chance. When it became a matter of the will and self-will and self-indulgence and self-interest, the hand of the Almighty God was swift and to the point. And there was no smart talk. There was no argument that could convince God to change his mind. But today, we have the very mistaken idea that we are going to be able, with our clever speech and patter, to pull the wool over the Almighty God's eyes when it comes time for us to be judged. Almighty God today has a different kind of punishment. He is not swift as he once was. He has another way of punishing, which is even more deadly. He simply withdraws. And leaves us to our own base ignorance and pride and self-deceits and conceits. The problem today is faith. I have been asked on numerous occasions, as we see floods of people moving, in whatever direction we see them move. And it is awesome, very awesome, to witness. And we sit in judgment of these people, whoever they are. Our judgment may be correct, our judgment might be incorrect. Only God knows. And we ask ourselves, how is it that these floods of people can move in this direction? Can't they see? Can't they understand? Can't they grasp the situation as it is? My beloved people, when Almighty God decides to move out, the result is unspeakable. You don't feel it. You don't see it. You don't touch it. You don't smell it. You don't sense it in any way. But the eyes become closed. And the ears become closed. And the soul becomes closed. And nobody feels anything. That is the worst kind of punishment. Because you see, in the former times when Almighty God acted swiftly, He acted in such a way that others may see and may fear. But he said today, no more. You cast me forth, I will go. I will not cast you out. I will be the one to depart. You can stay right where you wish to stay. That's entirely up to you. That's what God undoubtedly, if I may put words in his mouth, is saying. How dreadful. But my beloved people, look at the grace as I look at you. Look at the grace that Almighty God has given you and hopefully has given us. And it is because of that grace, my beloved people, that you are here. Or wherever. It is because of that peculiar grace that you are here. And it is because of that grace that you have the faith that he is looking for. And that he demands, and that love also that we speak so much of, that draws you as a magnet draws iron to him. And that everything you do in life is because of that grace. And when you see others who are acting contrary to what you know is right, what must you do about it? What must you do about it? Argue? Push? Tug, pull, punish, just a bit of good. Then what must you do? What must we do about it? Prayer. That's all there is. The only one who can penetrate the soul of any man. We said today, and you use this word, every man. Every man is a personification of mankind. The only one who can penetrate the soul of every man, that is, if he so chooses to penetrate that soul, is God. And God alone. We must come to that understanding. We have our faith. We must live that faith. We must work that faith. We must walk that faith. We must dress that faith. Everything about it must be that faith. And everything we do. And when we come here, as we've said so many times, the only thing that matters is what takes place up there on that altar. Not because of anybody's feeble hands, but because of God himself working at that altar. And when the priest, that man, that human, that sinful creature, every time he lifts up his hands, he reaches into the very vaults of heaven, and he pulls down from the vault of heaven the Creator, my Creator, your Creator. He pulls him down with his bare hands and puts him on the altar. How unsearchable are the ways of God that he should give such power to man. That's why we're here. To witness that. To be that. To be with that. And for him then, that same man, to take that which he has taken down from the vault of heaven and it's broken into small pieces, and has given it to you. My goodness gracious. Whatever are we talking about? It's your faith, my beloved people, that matters. It's your faith, our faith, truth. Let's put all of this, I use the word stuff a lot ago, and I continue to use the word stuff. 90% of this kind of stuff that comes into your houses should automatically be taken as it comes in the famous trip, straight from the mailbox into the garbage. Don't waste time reading screed, because that's what it is, from whatever side. Pray instead of using your time, wasting your time at something that means nothing, but rather that we use our time absolutely shooting arrows at the very heart of Jesus Christ and his mother Mary. That's all that matters. Don't be afraid. I'll mention this by way of just mentioning it, because maybe you will hear something about it. And that is just in the last, within the last week, the local diocesan office has sent out a packet to the various and sundry, whoever, I don't know who, in which there is included a letter condemning us, and that you do not fulfill your Sunday obligation by coming here. My beloved people, it's almost facetious when you stop. See, the letter is dated September 1, 1999. You wonder sometimes about maturity. My beloved people, there's enough evidence, and you have it, that when you come here, or to any such place such as this, you definitely, completely, and absolutely fulfill your Sunday obligation. And I wonder sometimes if the Sunday obligation is not rather a little pink envelope. I wonder. My beloved people, so far, I can only speak of so far, we have never spoken here from this pulpit about a pink envelope, have we? You are here for one reason, and one reason only, and that is God. If in your charity, whatever, that's up to you. We're living in upheavaling times. Let us be objective in our estimation of everything that comes our way. I don't mean to be suspicious, but objective. Check it out. Check it out with objectivity. That means remove yourselves from it. Stand off at a distance. Don't become myopic and look through tunnel vision, only at that little speck that you're looking at. Look at the whole picture. And let the whole picture tell you the story. Don't be afraid. God, I think, there might be some who disagree with me. So be it. But God, I am suspicious of, at least I have been giving the thought to, the possibility. Maybe I'm wrong, but I still think this way about it, that God is still in control. I think he is. And to hear some people speak, you'd think that he has about as much controllability of things as a flea. My beloved people, don't be afraid. Just pray. Pray like you've never prayed before to the Almighty God who controls the seasons, who controls the oceans and the tide and the sun and the moon and the stars. God can control everything. The animals obey his will. The birds obey his will. The wind obeys his will. And yet, his most perfect creation does not. And we expect him to come in as a Santa Claus figure with his beautiful white flowing beard and give us presents even when we are naughty. God doesn't function that way. He won't function that way. And the more we think that he does function that way, the more he will remove himself from us. Our only hope is our meekness and humility, that we approach him on bended knee with sincerity, consistency, and conviction. And tell him and say, mea culpa, my fault. Not the my fault type word that you hear on the football field, but it is my fault that he has to suffer like he suffers, if God can suffer. But his loneliness and his concern for us, my beloved people, must not be afraid. Also in today's bulletin on the front page, there is something I want to read. But why have the words of prayer, penance, and mortification fallen on deaf ears? But they have fallen on deaf ears. But the heart of every man remains uneasy, uncertain, wondering, searching, hunting, grabbing. Nevertheless, it continues to say, the sword of uncertainty and fear and confusion and all such like continues to be sharpened by those who lie in wait to whittle to pieces anything and everything that the hand of God offers to the heart of man. And the ears of every man remain unattuned to the silence. Please, let's underline that word, silence. To the silence of the far-off mountain on which the armies of God and the armies of the enemy are confronting one another in a mysterious and deadly battle.